even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We've got your mailbag questions all answered 100% correctly, or, and this is important, your money back. And the Rays, of course, they win at least one game in Chicago. Very exciting, 4-3 in the afternoon tilt to at least avoid a series sweep in that one. All of that coming up. But first, Tom Brady, Raiders quarterback.
Who?
Yeah, you can't get rid of him. I know that everybody thinks he's going to become, at some point, we expect, a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. But wait, there's more. So this started, I think, with TMZ, and then later Pro Football Talk confirmed this. As it turns out, Tom Brady doesn't need unanimous consent from all 32 owners should he choose to return to the playing field. Couple things here. That would be if he, in fact, had executed a contract to become a minority owner, which there is no evidence of yet. Okay? It's been stated that that's the intention, but we haven't seen anything. So if he were to do that, the question has been, could Tom Brady then play for the Raiders? Because as we know, Jimmy Garoppolo, turns out he had ankle surgery. They couldn't guarantee, you give him all the guarantees in his deal. They had to rework some stuff. And everybody's like, Tom Brady's going to be your quarterback in Las Vegas. Not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say. Because the belief was that the owners in the National Football League, the other 31, would have to approve it, like, unanimously. Well, it turns out it's not unanimous. The NFL, speaking to Pro Football Talk, said, no, you just need to have 24 of the 32 say yes. If 9 say no, now you got a problem. You can't quarterback. Now, this is all assuming he were to go through and then, in fact, become a minority owner. So we can get to that in a second, but doesn't it seem a little more likely that you wouldn't have 9 no's as opposed to unanimous consent?
But I still think it would be hard to get 24 owners to say yes. And okay. here's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the salary cap implications would be, first of all. But
right.
Do owners, the next big contract that comes up, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. when Patrick Mahomes comes
Patrick
up again,
Mahomes.
You know, whatever quarterbacks, particularly quarterbacks, come
the
up.
Next guy.
Mm-hmm. Do you want the negotiations to start with ownership share?
Well, it's a fair question.
And are there 9 owners that are willing to say, I don't want that to be part of the discussion, period, ever?
Yeah.
So, no.
My answer to that is there probably are at least 9 owners that don't want that to be a carrot. If in fact, that would be a thing, I suppose it could be. There's definitely some salary cap ramifications and they've been written about, I guess, online a little bit about that.
Well, also I think it depends on, were you given shares or did you buy them? Did you buy them at the fair market value or did you get a discount? And that would all impact salary cap is what
salary cap.
Andrew Brandt and others have talked about. Apparently, this was looked into 10 years ago with Peyton Manning.
When he was leaving Indianapolis, mm-hmm. yeah.
And there was talk of him wanting some ownership shares and how that would work out. It never came to fruition for whatever reason. But this isn't the first time it's been looked at least.
Yeah. I also think, and I've heard them raise this, I think it was on the Dan Patrick Show, one of the shows I was listening to, that there's sort of a competitive disadvantage if you have someone in your ownership group, and who would, right? But there might be others who is in effect an extra player, right? Like, you know, Tom Brady would not be eating up any portions of the salary cap until or unless he decided to unretire. But he's keenly aware of everything, right? Like, he knows the team. He knows what their salary cap situation would be, to have access to all that information. And he'd be uniquely positioned, as with the Raiders or anybody that would have him, to know how and when and how much he could then become active to help his team. It's like carrying an extra player, but in this case, not just an extra player, but the greatest quarterback of all time. That seems like a circumvention, too, of roster limits. You know, like, yeah, we got this quarterback. He's really, really good. He just happens to be an owner. And as soon as the guy downstairs, you know, can't get off the ground, we're going to bring him out of the booth, and he's going to lead us to the Super Bowl. So there's a little bit of a competitive schism there, too, I think. Here's what I think, as Peter King would say. Here's what I think. I think Brady loves this. I think whether he ever plays again or not, Tom Brady loves people talking about Tom Brady. I really do believe that. And especially when it's about playing quarterback, right? And there might even be a little tinge of, he's 45, if we're going to be 46, I don't know if he could do this still. Like, you know, he's retired. Like, there's always going to be, because he's always the man in the arena, this little bit of, well, I'll show them, you know. I mean, why did he play? I mean, goodness gracious, wasn't 5 rings enough, 6 rings enough? No, he needed to win 7. And so, you know, at age 43, he came to Tampa Bay and he won his 7th. And then he tried to win his 8th and retired, and that wasn't good enough, and unretired and tried to win it again. And so he didn't, and now he's retired again. Is this really it? And we won't know that until a full, at least one full, and I want to emphasize the word full, season goes by without Tom Brady on an NFL field. I'm not convinced that will happen. I think in my mind, it seems like it's more likely to happen that he will stay retired than not. And the biggest reason, I think, is personal, not professional. He said it when he retired the second time. He's, look, I know I can play. You know, I know I'm better than, you know, more than half of the quarterbacks out there. It's not a question of whether I could. It's kind of whether I should. And, you know, just kind of reached a point. And then, you know, then getting beyond the professional, there's the personal, where the custody issues are such, I believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but, you know, I mean, him and Giselle kind of are going to share custody. I believe their kids are going to go to school at a real school in Miami. They were homeschooled in Tampa. And so, therefore, if it's 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, how do you then play someplace other than Miami and still manage to hold up your end of the bargain when it comes to shared custody? So there's a lot of things that are important, more important than football to him, or so he has consistently said. However, who says it's going to be for a full season? Who says it wouldn't just be for a playoff run? These are the things we don't know. I won't be convinced that he won't pull the trigger on coming back until the season is over, you know, because if this was a year ago and the San Francisco 49ers lost all their quarterbacks and they needed him to play with that team in a championship game, I don't know that he wouldn't do it. And so, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But this is sort of the deal that I think Brady was waiting or trying to do as far back as when he played the playoff game against the Eagles after he won the Super Bowl the next year. And that's where the tampering charges came with Miami, is it was calling around or his representatives on his behalf saying, give me a partial ownership stake and I'll do whatever you want. You want me in the free office, front office, fine. You want me to play quarterback? Sure. I could do that for you too for a year. And again, all these rules and votes and things like that, they can circumvent that so long as he, you know, no one has signed a contract that's filed with the NFL. There's a reason he's taking this gap year. And maybe it's just to spend time with the kids and get his life settled outside of football and not jump right back into the booth. And that all could be part of it, or maybe all of it. But Tom Brady is always going to listen to opportunity because he gets so much opportunity that people don't even ever aware of that he turns down. But it keeps flying at him in an opportunity to play. And look where we're talking about. We're talking about Josh McDaniels. That guy, he could walk in there tomorrow, know the verbiage, know everything. You know, there's no adjustment for him. It's what he did for 20 years in New England. So there's so much about it that seems like a nice fit, and yet it's across the country. You know, he's going to be 46 in October. Like, there's so many things, and his children now in Miami, that you want to believe that, okay, he really did retire. And yet the buzz will never go away. I don't think it bothers him that people are talking about him playing again. I really don't.
The only bad publicity is no publicity at all.
That's right. When they stop talking about you, you're probably dead.
Look, he's got a movie company. He's got an apparel brand. It's the more people talk about him, the better it is for business.
No question. And business is good.
And he's got a chip on his shoulder. Always has.
That's right.
So if most people still think he's better than every other quarterback, including Jimmy Garoppolo, who potentially Belichick wanted to keep over Tom Brady.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure I feel for Jimmy G. It. Yeah. I kind of feel for Jimmy G because he's a nice guy, but he can't stay healthy worth a damn. He hasn't in the last, five out of 7 years he's been completely injured. But, like, just to go to work there every day, you know, it kind of reminds me, like, you remember the movie 61? It was about Roger Maris chasing Babe Ruth's home run record or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Mickey Mantle and him were kind of like, you know, going back and forth with home runs and stuff. And Mantle, I think it was Mantle, says to Maris, I hate this place. The blankety blank ghosts are just, they're everywhere. They're just everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo goes to work in Las Vegas whenever he's able to get on the football field. And no matter what day that is or what he does, he is not the best quarterback in that organization. It's the guy upstairs. And that's got to be awful for him because the GOAT is scrutinizing every throw. He's chomping at the bit to come down and play and rip the helmet off you and put it on his own head. Like, that's going to be a really weird dynamic, I think. And I'm not saying that Brady will be, like, you know, sort of uber aggressive about it or even passive aggressive about it. But, like, it's just a reality. You know,
well, I wonder what it was like when, this happens in baseball more than anything, but, you know, Pete Rose was a player manager.
Oh.
And there were others in baseball history, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that dynamic's got to be weird, too.
It does, especially when he's making the lineup and batting himself first or, you know, whatever.
And betting on the team.
Yeah. And betting on the team. That was uncomfortable. Never bet them to lose, though. But yeah, I'm sure that, you know, like I said, it's hard to chase ghosts. I mean, it's just, you know, the greats of the game, you know, and he's going to be in that organization, which is weird to begin with because, I mean, really the Raiders, we've talked about this. He changed the whole fortune of trajectory of two franchises with the Tuck rule, mm-hmm. You know, that call goes the other way. Who knows?
Well, there's probably no Tom Brady because Drew Bledsoe is probably the quarterback for the Patriots the next season.
For the next season, and John Gruden doesn't come to Tampa and win a Super Bowl, and the Raiders mm-hmm. win it the next year instead because he stays in Oakland. It's just the whole sliding doors thing. But there he is. You know, he supposedly is going to eventually become a minority owner, if not a quarterback before that. But a little bit of good reporting there by Florio. Got this from the league. That, in fact, you don't need unanimous consent from other owners. You would just need 24 of the 32 owners, which means the nine no votes could kill it. So my thing is, show me the contract where it says that he is, in fact, part of Mark Davis's group. And until somebody produces that, he's just a free agent, man. He's like any other free agent out there, you know, like Zeke Elliott. He's just a dude that you can sign, put on your club tomorrow. And
are you saying, you know, Zeke Elliott wants ownership in the Bucks to come play here?
And well, I mean, relatively speaking. I mean, he thinks he can make $12 million somewhere. I got news for him. Even his ex-coach said that, you know, that's the problem with Zeke, is that he's been a $12 million running back, and now he's probably a $3 or $4 million running back. Who's going to tell him? But the league's already told him, because he's not getting any offers in that nosebleed section. So he's going to have to decide, is it worth it to him? And that's where a lot of players get when they still got something in the tank. But it's like, what am I willing to go through physically and mentally and move my family or move myself and incur that expense just to hang on and play one more season? A lot of them, even though they got football left in, will just say, well, I need to just bow out gracefully here. But that has not been Tom Brady's style. So who's to say? Only he can decide when the last chapter is really written. And he certainly has come back already a couple times. We'll see. It's damn interesting. It really is. All right, we'll get to the Rays and your mailbag questions coming up. But first, I want to tell you how to save money on your electric bill. It's called May Electric Solar. They're a family-owned business. They've been installing solar electric systems in the area for 13 years. There's a lot of these fly-by-night companies, but May Electric Solar is committed to you for the long term. How long? Will they guarantee their workmanship with a 30-year labor and services warranty, plus with every installation you get $750 worth of surge protection. That's for all your appliances. That's what they're calling the May difference. If you visit the Hudson showroom, May Electric displays all their products. They conduct on-site testing. You can see exactly what they're going to install. They will customize it to your needs. Plus, they don't use subcontractors, so you know exactly who's doing the job up there on that roof, pounding in those solar panels. Those are Billy Mays guys, and that's important. Start saving today. Call the solar energy experts at May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. You can schedule a free estimate. Lower your electric bill all year long. Preserve the quality of those appliances. That's May Electric Solar at 727-819-2862. Boy, it looked like the combination, Steve, between the bullpen and some really kind of lackadaisical defensive play was going to doom the Rays again. They almost got swept by the Chicago Cubs, but they managed to get one game, and it was a big one. Couple of home runs. Brandon Lau had one in the seventh inning, I think, and then of course a big blow by Jose Suri wins the game for him, 4-3. But the game ended, by the way, with the bases loaded and an absolute laser to left field that really was run down on a nice play by Randy Arozarena to save it and to give the Rays one win. Their 40th win. They are 40-18. Anybody have that on the bingo card? Out of the first 58 games, they would win 40 of them.
I don't think I had that pace. I mean, what, 2 years? No, just think about this, though. 2-3 years, whatever the COVID year was. They went 40-20.
It's right there, right?
It's a 60-game schedule, and they finished 40-20. So they're a little bit ahead of that pace, but basically what they did in the – that was the 2020 season.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which they ended up going on to the World Series. And
they went to the World Series and lost to the Dodgers. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So – good start, but you and I were texting back and forth. So the first two games of the series, as we talked last night, defensive lapses, not necessarily errors, but defensive lapses, gave up the winning runs both times. They're up 4-3 in the ninth. It was Paredes. Well, yeah, Walls earlier. But
the first game, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Today and Wednesday in the last game of the series, Paredes gets the hot grounder at third, sidearms it to second, nowhere near second base. Brandon Lau, a great play to.
He saved a run. Mm-hmm. I think that goes overlooked because the play he makes, even though he takes him way off the bag, to keep that ball from going in the right field and prevent the tying run from scoring, that was the ball game. It should have been an inning-ending double play, and it turned out to be just an error, a throwing error. And he had another. I don't know if they scored it in error, but he had another ball get thrown at third. Mm-hmm. Paredes did. Kind of loose on defense. They had the pop fly the other night drop between Lau and Lowe. Lowe in right field, Lau at second base, and that was ruled a double, but it probably shouldn't have been an earned run when they lost that game. So, yeah, it's just some sloppy play, not much offense, to say the least. And then a bullpen that, man, I mean, if you're invested in this team, you go straight for the Tums. When they bring in the relief guys, because in Colin Poche, I know his numbers are good because there's runners inherited and there's the ones that count on your ERA. But you tell me every time Colin Poche gets in the game that you're not expecting something awful to happen at some point. Like, and it's not like he's good. Like, he's got great stuff and he's left-handed and all the things that, you know, and he attacks hitters. But just something that you just, nothing gives you a calm feeling about him when he comes into the game in high leverage situation. He gave up a run and could have been more, but, you know, and then they managed to get out of it with what, Jalen Beeks, the last inning.
Well, and Kevin Kelly was in first, but
that's right.
To be honest, the first time Kevin Cash comes out of the dugout to take out a pitcher, you start getting the Tums out, because it doesn't matter which bullpen pitcher's coming in.
No.
You don't have, as a fan, you don't have confidence they're going to get through it. They usually do, which is what's right. Amazing about it.
40-18 worth, yeah.
But, I mean, whether, you know, Jason Adams has been shaky of late, even Pete Fairbanks a little bit. But, you know, Kevin Kelly and Jalen Beeks and Colin Poche, and you just are going, ooh. I mean, you reach for it early in the games now. I mean, as soon as that starter's coming out, you're like, ooh.
Oh,
how are we going to get through this?
Acid.
And they usually do.
And here's
do.
The thing, like, I mean, but even Beeks, okay, so the bases are loaded, and he goes 3-0 to the hitter with the bases loaded, tying one at third. You're like, this is over, man. Like, I know, I've seen this movie. Right? Like a million times. He's going to walk this guy. Next guy's going to get a hit or a walk. This could be back-to-back walk-off walks. And he gets him to 3-1, and then I believe it was a full count.
Full count.
And,
yep.
And the guy.
Then he fouled off a pitch. It fouled off
he fouled, he fouled off count. A 3-2 pitch that was a good pitch that he was should have struck him out. But then he hits an absolute laser to left field. I mean, and it's starting to hook towards the corner a little bit. And if Randy doesn't get a good jump on that ball, it's over. It's game over. He's going to go to the corner and at least two runs will score. And it's a walk-off. But got a nice jump, made a nice play. And it was funny because after the game, you know, you get the proverbial, oh, what'd you think of Jalen's, you know, Beeks and getting out of that jam? It's like, yeah, he got the pop or line drive, whatever, to left field. Like, you wanted to just say, yeah, we got lucky. Okay? That guy hit the hell out of the ball. But here's the thing. You'd rather do that. That's why if you get to those, you know, those three ball counts, like he might hit one at one of your guys. Your guys might make the play. So go ahead and you don't want to just serve it up, but like it's better than putting a guy on or walking in a run. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it worked out for him, and it was probably a much easier trip and flight to Boston than it would have been, because getting swept by the Cubs is not much fun. They're not a very good team this year. From an overall record standpoint, but they struggle to score runs up there. And for all that, you know, here's the other thing about it. I was thinking about this too. So Brandon Lau, which I don't understand why he's still batting fourth. Like, you want to play him. Like, I would take some of the pressure off, maybe drop him down in the order a little bit. Not Cash, man. And you know what? He came up with one of the biggest hits of the year because that helped win them a ball game. They're down 2-0, and he gets the jack. And gets them back in it. And up to that point, they had scored one run in the entire series.
Now, he did bat six today, but that was going against a lefty because they gave Franco the day off. So they did pull him down in the order because it was lefty on lefty.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point. But he managed to contribute in a big way. And, you know, and Jose Siri now with, 10 home runs or 9 home runs, something like that. He has as many home runs.
It's 10, yep.
It's 10, yeah. So he's eclipsed anything he's done, you know, in the number of games he played a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's an interesting player because you see, like, he had a couple of misplays in the outfield the other day.
He had a rough game against the Dodgers.
Didn't run to first base on a play. And so he's still raw, and you're still like kind of like, I don't know. But boy, does he have the flair for the spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
The spectacular defensive play, the big throw, and then the big hit and the big fly. I mean, he's got power. Like, it's rare to find a guy with that much speed that also has that much power. I mean, he's just another one of those Rays that's on pace to hit, 30 home runs, 28, 30 home runs? There's a bunch of them out there that could do it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully some reinforcements coming. Sean Armstrong pitched 2-1-2-3 innings in Durham on Wednesday. Should be his final rehab start. Should join the team in Boston this weekend. Rays have an off day today, so They'll get some rest there in Boston. Zach Littell.
Will they?
Well, the Boston flu.
Oh, they'll rest, all right. they'll be resting, all right. They'll just be eating crab cakes, man. Nothing to see here.
Get some chowder.
Yeah.
Zach Littell should start a rehab assignment by the end of the weekend. And then the Rays have a doubleheader Saturday, so they'll get to call up a 27th player, most likely to be Cooper Criswell or Yanni Chirinos. To help with that game. You get that 27th player in the...
I like Yanni. You know what? I like Yanni Chirinos, man. Can't they find a place for him on this roster permanently?
If he throws strikes.
I think he does a really good job.
Yeah, when he's on, he does.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be on because he's not necessarily a power pitcher, but he's got the heavy sinker, get the ground balls, can put together multiple innings.
I think they'd like to see him up here.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty... At this point, him or Fleming?
Yeah, I definitely would with Yanni over Fleming at this point. I would, based on the last outing anyway.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So we'll see. I mean, they're, you know, big ALE series in Boston and then they come home and it's 7-game road trip, 8 days or whatever. They'll be here before you know it. Okay, so we got...
Oh, and All-Star voting has started. So how many Rays do you think make the All-Star game?
All right, let's think about this.
This is obviously without looking at around the league. We're just doing it off the top of our head.
No. I'll tell you who I think is deserving. And I think if you have the best record in the American League, or in this case, on all of baseball at this point, you have to think that they're going to get some votes. Now, again... You know, Tampa Bay is not New York. It's not L.A. It's not some of the bigger markets. Houston, you know, there's going to be, plenty of bigger markets that get a lot of the vote share. But, and Baltimore's had a nice season as well. So, okay, I'm going to go in no particular order. I think Wander Franco's going to get it just because he's Wander Franco, and he's hitting around 300. He's starting to get toasty again. I think Randy Arozarena gets it too.
I think he can get voted. I don't think Wander gets voted in.
You think Wander's one of those added guys?
I don't think he's big enough yet nationally where he gets voted. I think Arozarena gets voted in.
Okay, so Arozarena gets a vote.
I think he's probably the only Ray that gets voted in. I don't think Yandy Diaz gets voted in.
Because Yandy, to me, I think, is deserving as any player on
team. But it's a popularity contest.
You don't think he'll get the fan vote?
I just don't think enough fans know about Yandy Diaz.
And he's a first baseman, which is a heavy position when it comes to All-Star voting. I'm sure there's a lot of good first basemen. How about on the pitching side, Shane McClanahan for sure?
Yes.
And then would you say
Eflin should too?
Zach Eflin, yeah. I mean, he's what, 8-7, 8-1, something like that?
I mean, if you're going, you're going wins. McClanahan's first with 8, and Eflin's tied for second with 7.
And both with outstanding ERAs.
Yeah, Eflin's at 330, which is good, and I wouldn't say great. McClanahan's at 207. He's like second or third in the league, or in baseball.
I mean, this could be the second time in as many years. I don't know if it'll happen, but, I mean, he certainly has an argument to start the All-Star game again. He did a year ago, so. But definitely an All-Star. And it stops there, right? I mean, I don't think there's anybody else that...
I mean, Josh Lowe probably deserves a look, but I don't think he's going to get in.
Yeah, he probably won't get in. But he's had a nice start to the season for sure. Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be bad. I mean, you could get... Maybe as many as 5.
I mean, you know, like for Yandy Diaz, let's look at first baseman here. Let me pull up here first base.
That's what it comes down to. There's just some
Anthony Rizzo is batting .304 with 11 home runs.
Okay, well he's also plays for the Yankees. Well, and
that's
get
what
a
I'm
ton
saying.
Of
and Yandy Diaz is .310 with 12 home runs. I mean,
so they're comparable, but one guy's more well known.
But is Rizzo going to get more votes than Yandy Diaz? Most likely.
Probably, yeah.
Is Vladimir Guerrero going to get more votes than Yandy Diaz?
Could absolutely he could.
He's having a good. I mean, he's 286, eight home runs. 30, I mean, it's a good season.
But the name recognition is better.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I mean, that's always the hard part when you're Tampa Bay is to get an all-star starting, to get the fan vote in.
Right. Right.
It's got to be a player that fans nationwide know about and is having a great season. Yandy Diaz is having a great season. But I think if you're going to talk about players in the Rays people have heard about or know about, Randy Arozarena from the World Baseball Classic and the pose in the postseason a few years ago. I mean, that's a name that baseball fans know. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot of fans know Yandy Diaz's name. They should.
Yeah, but they probably don't. You're right.
You know, and that's always the hard part of All-Star. You know, I'm looking at shortstop here. Bo Bichette is leading the American League in hitting, .333 average with 11 home runs. He's probably more well-known than Wander Franco.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Witt, the rookie in Kansas, he's not a good average, but a lot of home runs. Anthony Volpe's having at least home run wise.
Okay,
his average
season.
Is below 200. He shouldn't get in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got Carlos Correa as a name. You got Corey Seager as a name. On a very good Texas team. He's batting .319, by the way. He's only played about half the games, though. I think he was hurt.
He was injured.
But, I think Wander Franco makes the team.
Yeah, you're right. He might not get voted. Although he does get some national press.
He does.
I mean,
I could be wrong on that. Is he deserving of it? I mean, I think it's probably him or Bo Bichette are probably the most two deserving in the American League.
Yeah.
As far as the seasons they're having.
They'll probably both be on the team. But they'll be well represented for sure.
You know, if we look at outfielders, I mean, Aaron Judge is going to make it.
Oh, God, he's on fire.
He'll be the top vote in the American League. Mike Trout's having a good year.
Yeah.
Arozarena's up there.
What do you do with Shohei Ohtani? Where does he play? Is he a pitcher?
Well, I mean, he's a DH or a pitcher.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't play the outfield, so he would be the DH position or pitcher.
Okay. He'll be on there, obviously, just because he's Shohei Ohtani.
Adolis Garcia is having a good year, 14 home runs in the outfield. So, but I think Randy Arozarena can get the vote there.
I'm going to say five Rays. I'm going to say five, four for sure, and then maybe as many as five.
Which would be tremendous.
Two pitchers and three position players. It would be great.
And Josh Lowe probably deserves it, but I don't think he'll make it.
No, he'll have to go another. Generally, you make it the year after you deserve it, but
yeah. I mean, he's got a higher batting average, the same amount of home runs, and twice as many stolen bases as Arozarena in eight less games.
This is all he's ever done, though. This is his first year.
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's having a all-star season stat-wise. I don't think he'll make the team.
Right.
At least
a year from now, different story.
Absolutely.
You know. But, yeah, you'll take five Rays. I mean, that's outstanding. It's going back to, like, the post 08 Rays, you know, when you get that many players out there. So that'll be cool.
All right, before we go, we'll get to a mailbag question here. And Tommy had tweeted us. He says, guys, who do you think has been the most improved player on the Rays so far this season?
Immediately, my mind goes to Josh Lowe.
That's not my first choice. Although, who are you going to quibble with? He's been phenomenal.
Okay, give me yours.
My first thought was Taylor Walls.
That's a really good one. Really good one. I couldn't argue with that. I could not argue with that. For the home runs, for the defense, particularly the bat. I mean, where he's improved the most, though, because he's always a terrific glove, is just his hitting. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's offensively night and day. He is sort of night and day. Now, I would say I'd be very comfortable with that. I would say that however, for what he's given them with the long ball, with the stolen bases, pretty good outfield play. He's completely turned it around. Like that was probably a bigger jump for him than it was even for Taylor. But yeah, no, I couldn't quibble with Taylor.
And I guess my first thought went to Taylor because my first thought with Josh is this is more of the jump from AAA to the majors. I mean, he did come up last year, but he didn't stick around that long.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
You could make a case for Jose Siri.
You could. Absolutely, you could.
And even Yandy Diaz, to be honest. Although I wouldn't say most improved, but he's hitting a lot better. Not that he hit poorly last year, but
The power numbers, and that's the thing for all these guys, right? Surrey for Yandy, who's eclipsed his home run total last year, career high already. Like, the power numbers is what really has jumped out at you. But yeah, those are all good ones. Taylor Walls, I like that a lot. He looks like a different player at the plate. You know, he's had impactful at bats both sides, a lot of home runs.
Could you make a case for Shane McClanahan?
Well, I mean, the record is certainly there, and the ERA. Here's the thing about Shane, like, and this might be totally unfair. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen his best yet.
I agree.
I think he started out the season with so many bases on balls that even despite all that he's done with this great record in ERA, that he hasn't been as dominant as you know he can be, and maybe he's a victim of his own expectations or the ones that he set for other people. But you could definitely make an argument for it, but it's about what he did a year ago, to be honest with you.
I mean, last year he was 12-8 with a 2.54 ERA.
Yeah. But I mean, at this same point, he was also the All-Star starter a year ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he got off to a great start, and then he got kind of, I think he got tired because he hadn't pitched that many innings before. And I think he kind of hit a wall there for a while, and he finished up good. But like, yeah, I mean, you could definitely put him up there because he's an ace, and he, you know, everything he's done has been great. It's just the bases on balls has not been sort of what his standard is.
What about a Rosarena?
We didn't even mention
that. I mean, he's got last year. Randy. What? Last year he hit 263 with 20 home runs. He's already had 11 home runs and batting almost 300 this year.
He's a different player. I don't know that he's a different player. I think he's off to a better start, if that makes sense.
Oh, he definitely is.
This is definitely what he's capable of and always has been capable of. But he's evened out his performance, and it goes back. And there's no way around this. Like, it began in the World Baseball Classic, and it began with the posing and, you know, what he did for Mexico, and he picked it up and carried it right into the season because we know he's a big game. You know, he's a big time. The bigger the spotlight, the better he plays.
It gave him big time games before the season began.
That's it.
And
that's
I think it put him in a mindset.
It put him in a mindset and a confidence and a showmanship that just carried on into the regular season. And so there wasn't that sort of slow roll up until he hits his stride, because he's been sort of a notorious slow starter at times.
I think he feeds off the team winning too.
Oh, sure he does.
I think part of his big game mentality in that is, and the team got off to what, 13 in a row or whatever it was to start the season,
14 in a row.
That was part of it too.
When you're, and also not for nothing, and they've had a couple of bad crowds, but when you're generally playing in front of, you know, 21,000, 22,000 versus 6 or 7, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel that buzz. And they created it themselves, like you said, by winning all those games in a row. So they were part of a big story, and they were cool, and they were, you know, everyone wanted to see, like, who's making them go. And they all took ownership of it. He has started the way you'd hope he'd play all year. If he can maintain it, great. But what, you know, yeah, why wouldn't we mention him for an MVP? I mean, most improved anyway. Again, the thing about a Rosarena is, you know, that's in there because you've seen it. It's just you're seeing it earlier and you're seeing it more consistently. And I think he's great. He's grown up as a hitter. Look, he used to be the guy that didn't want to see any charts, just was going to go up there and want to know how hard the guy was throwing. Mm-hmm. What's he throwing? How hard is he throwing? That's all he wanted to know. Now, I think he's been more selective. I think he understands how people are trying to get him out. And, you know, it's paid off. You know, that information that he's getting, whatever it is, he's putting it to good use. So it's a great problem to have when you have so many players. You can't decide who's had the best year, you know, because the answer is they've all had a really great year, and that's why their team has won 40 games, which is just remarkable. Good question. We'll get to more of those questions, I'm sure, as the final day comes on, and maybe over into next week as well.
We're going to have Matt Baker tomorrow as well. We're going to talk some SEC media days, as he was up in Destin, Alabama, or Destin, Florida. No, it wasn't. We were thinking it was in Hoover, but it was actually in Destin, Florida.
That's right. Destin, Florida, Panhandle, beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And he's got a nice long drive that he can talk to us from the phone if he wants to. So that'll be fun to talk about a little SEC football.
Are they going to play 8 games, 9 games in conference?
It's such a decision.
play nine. Just come on. Give the fans
you know
what
they want. You play whatever the TV wants to pay you to play. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, TV contract money, you want to play eight or nine?
Look, I like the Big Ten. I like the fact they play nine conference games.
Yeah.
I want to see more conference games. I don't want
to
see
No one wants to see Florida play a compass school, mm-hmm. you know, East Middle Tennessee, Southern, you know, like you don't need to see that. And it's good those teams come down and get shellacked and get a big paycheck and, you know, everybody's second Gator fan is like, oh, we kicked their, like, it's just.
Especially with going to 12 teams in the playoff.
Yeah.
Now, a loss early.
Now you need those
a loss
wins,
isn't
going
to hurt you. A loss isn't going to hurt
you.
Not going
to knock you out. Yeah. No, absolutely not. Like, Florida State plays LSU the first weekend of the season. Mm-hmm. You know, both those teams are going to be really, really good, mm-hmm. I think. Mm-hmm. I think Florida State's going to win the ACC. One of them's going to lose. It's not going to crush them. Not going to do it. So, yeah, that's the thing about, you know, and even within the conference, like there are just teams that you figure if you're Alabama or you know, even Florida, you figure you're going to go in and crush them, you know, and there's a lot of those games, and it just seems like, you know, it'd be better entertainment at least if you're going to pay all that money for the TV rights if you just played more conference games. But we'll talk to Matt about that and other issues, I'm sure, as far as the future of college football and everything we can think of with that, which is I saw the other day, and I don't know the answer to this with college football, but as we're doing this podcast, we are some 99 days away from the season opener for the National Football League.
Which means we're less than 90 for college football at that point.
Yes, that's right, because they start, a week or two, 10 days earlier.
They start Labor Day, and if you're going to count week zero, there's a few games the week before.
Week zero, yeah, you got to count week zero.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's not that far away, man, and how do I know this? Because my vacation's not that far away. So, you know, it's like, hey, 11 and a half months, okay, finally get to go. Oh, got to go back to work now for another 11 months.
Got to get that comp time in.
Yeah, man, yeah, whatever that is. All right, so thanks for listening. We'll have Matt tomorrow, talk a little college football, get some more of your mailbag questions maybe, and, of course, the Rays have the day off, so we'll see what they do as they head up over the weekend against the Boston Red Sox. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.